truth. You know, I was thinking about passages such as Deuteronomy 6 that talks about passing on truth to our children, that we speak about His ways as we lie down and rise up and walk by the way. And I realize that there are many things to be learned from the Word of God. And over the course of a lifetime, we continue to grow closer to Him as we focus more on His Word. But it is a journey, we might say, a process, correct? But I was thinking of one way to convey easily to my children and to yours the difference between churches that you see in the world today and understand simply the church that Christ built and to seek to be a part of it. I thought of no better way to express it and simplify it by speaking about the seed principle. The seed principle. And that is the title of the lesson this morning. For many years, some have said the Church of Christ is just another church made by man. Maybe Alexander Campbell or Barton W. Stone were ones that started the Church of Christ, they might say. And really, that cannot be true. Christ, of course, started His own church. Romans 16:16 even says, "The churches of Christ salute you." But what our friends are saying is that there is a denomination called, quote, the Church of Christ. That's what they mean when they say those things. Now, there may be some that think of the Church of Christ in that way. There may be even, sadly, some in the Church of Christ that think of the Church of Christ in that way, but that doesn't make it so. Those people are usually content with the idea that only denominations exist and no church today could ever be the church built by Jesus Christ. Because when you think about it, there you read in the New Testament, that church clearly was not a denomination. That church referred to itself as the way. In Acts chapter 9, there verse 1, you even see it there. In a number of other places as well. Not one among the ways, right? The many ways, but the way. The church is one that saw themselves as one body with one head. And they say, well, you know, that just really can't be done today. So when one comes with that misunderstanding of the church, they inevitably will say that the church is just a denomination. The Church of Christ denomination is like the church, the Catholic Church or the Baptist Church. We're just the Church of Christ Church. But, of course, that is not true. One of the best ways to prove this is not true is through the case of the seed principle. It is a tried and true principle that has been used for many years. And we find it in the beginning of the Bible, and we'll find it used by Jesus Christ Himself, and we will use it today. So if you'd like to, take your Bibles, and let's turn to the beginning. In Genesis chapter 1. As God creates all things that exist in this physical dimension, we see in day 3, Genesis 1, verse 11, "Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth, and it was so. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind. And God saw that it was good." So here we are in day 3, God's first creation of life. You see, on day 1, light was made, but light is not an organism. In day 2, we see water, and the water is being separated from itself, is made. But water is simply a chemical compound, H2O. But it's day 3 that God created organic life. And the germ of life was first made on this day. And it was manifested in terms of the green that we see all around our planet that surrounds us. The trees, the grass, the herbs, the plants. And the way God made this life to sustain itself is by with a seed. This seed, once planted, contained the ability to open up and reproduce the plant that had made it. And then those plants could create more seeds, which could create more plants that create more seeds, which create more plants that create more seeds. And thus the self-sustaining life cycle for the plant was made by God through the seed. You might also notice in day six that he creates man and animal. And day 6, verse 24, let the earth bring forth the living creatures according to its kind, cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind. And it was so. And God made the beast of the earth according to its kind, cattle according to its kind, everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. So here on day 6, God creates life of a different kind. We might say intelligent life, life that actually think. And with man and woman, and even with animals, he placed the seed of life within the body. And when that seed is passed from male to female, it creates another of its own kind. You'll notice the same phrase is used, according to its kind, there in verse 24, as was used of the plants and the green grass. Here God tells us that we should procreate, fill the earth and subdue it, be fruitful, multiply, he says in verse 28, because that would, again, spread the seed. So a human to human made another human. A monkey to monkey made another monkey. A hippo to hippo made another hippo. A fish to fish and bird to bird and so on and so forth. Their seed always produced after its own kind. So with life, the seed always produced after its own kind. That's the way God set up the self-sustaining life cycle for man and animal as well. Now, as a side note, evolution comes along and says, no, that's all wrong. All life came from the same cell, and that's for plants to animals. So there was a day that a cell made a fish made a plant, and then a plant made an insect made a reptile made a monkey, and a monkey made a man. So the seed principle was completely destroyed. It doesn't produce after its own kind. With evolution, the Bible is nonsense from page one. But God said that everything produced after its own kind. And that's what we see even being done even to this very present day. So evolution is wrong. It violates God's given order, where seed always produced after its own kind, each and every time. Now you might ask, well, what does this have to do with Christianity and the Church of Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked. It has everything to do with it. Because when we talk about Christianity, we are talking about life once again. We're talking about spiritual life this time. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1. Ephesians chapter 2, there verse 1. Paul speaking to the church at Ephesus. These were Christians. These were Christians in the one body. This is the church of Christ. And he says in Ephesians 2:1, and you, notice, he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. So when we committed trespasses, when we committed sins, we died. And thus, we're requiring a life-sustaining seed to be planted within us again. Well, who did that? God did. You he made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. In Colossians chapter 3, Colossians 3, notice verse 3. Colossians 3, verse 3, it says, for you died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. So So here it speaks about a death that we die, and then our new life is hidden with Christ in God. Verse 9, he says, "Do not lie to one another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds, and have put on the new man, who is renewed in knowledge according to the image of him who created him." So there is an old man and there's a new man. There's the old life, we're dead in our sins and trespasses, and then there's the new life, we're made alive together with him. In 2 Corinthians, notice with me chapter 2. 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 5. Excuse me, chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. It says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a what? A new creation." He's a new creation in Christ. "Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new." So in Christ, again, it speaks about this new life that we have. Well, when does this new life begin? When does it start? In John chapter 3. In John chapter 3, there verse 5. Jesus says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." Notice he speaks about a birth. That is a new life. This is a spiritual one. Being born again, not the first time where it's physical birth, but born again, it's a spiritual birth. Born of water and the Spirit. There ultimately speaks about our conversion to Christ. Being baptized, born of water, and then of a renewed spirit, an attitude, a heart which is dedicated to serving God. So what I want us to see in these verses is that we always go from something dead to something alive. A seed must always be involved in life, right? And every time, in every case. We saw that there in Genesis chapter 1. So what is the seed then that can be planted to grow spiritual life? Well, let's turn to Luke, the 8th chapter, to see that. In Luke chapter 8. In Luke chapter 8, Jesus shares the parable of parables, right? The parable of the sower. In Luke 8, verse 4, it says, "And when a multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up, and it choked it. But others fell on good ground, and sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he said, 'He who has ears to hear, let him hear.' Then his disciples asked him, saying, 'What does this parable mean?' And he said, 'To you it's been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it's given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand.'" So he's going to give to the disciples the understanding of this parable. And he starts off by saying this in verse 11. "Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God." You see that? The seed is the word of God. And so then he goes on to describe this seed, which is the word of God, being planted in different soils, which is different human hearts in essence. And there's three grounds that it does not produce fruit. But on the fourth one, it says, verse 15, "The ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard" what? "The word," that is that seed, right? "And with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." They keep it and bear fruit with patience. So the seed that gives life to a Christian is the word of God. And like all other seeds, it has to produce after its own kind, right? Just like plant to plant, animal to animal, man to man, so too must this seed produce after its own kind. It cannot change to something else. That would violate the seed principle, right? The seed is the word of God. planted in the good and honest heart, produces what God wants it to produce each and every time. So when we talk about the realm of religion, can the seed change one person into a Christian that prays to God? And can that same seed change another person that prays to God and to Mary? Mary, the mother of Jesus? No, it can't. Can the same seed make one believe Christ is the head of the church and make another person say that man can be leader of the whole church like the Pope or some kind of president over a society? Can it make another Christian believe that denominations are approved and another believe that they're not? No. Can it say that another will believe that baptism is a part of salvation, but another believe that baptism is not a part of salvation? Can it say that it makes one believe that you can worship however you want, and another say, no, we have to stick with the Word of God? Could all that happen from the exact same seed? It cannot. Why? Because a seed always produces after its own kind. So as we study the New Testament, especially the book of Acts, we see the church did things and didn't do certain things. And when we stick to that seed, well, then it's producing after its own kind. But I am getting ahead of myself. I'm going to back up for just a moment. I want us to look a little bit deeper at this process. Let's discuss what it would take to destroy Christ's spiritual kingdom, the Church of Christ. And let's also see if it's dependent upon a man or a church for it to be restored. So let's use the kingdom of the oak trees as an illustration. To destroy the oak kingdom, it would be necessary to destroy all life-possessing acorns as well as oak trees. Think about it. Every oak tree on earth would have to be cut down and burned. And if you did that, you would destroy the oak kingdom if you destroyed also every oak seed, right? But if somewhere there is left the seed of the oak, the acorn, well, then the oak trees can be reproduced. The acorn can be planted in the soil, and the immutable law of reproduction will bring forth what? Another oak tree. It will not produce a sycamore tree. It will not produce a maple tree. It will not produce the poplar tree. It will produce the same kind of oak tree which the type of seed has always produced. The oak. Nothing more and nothing less. Further, it matters not who or what plants the seed. It will always produce the oak. For example, if a woodpecker should pick up the acorn, fly across the country, and drop it into a plowed field where it becomes covered, and there it germinates and brings forth life and it grows, what will it produce? Will it produce a woodpecker? No, not that at all. Now, the woodpecker might have been instrumental in planting the acorn, but planted acorns never produce woodpeckers, do they? Seed brings forth after its kind. The only thing it can produce is the oak. The oak kingdom, therefore, is reproduced by the seed. Now get the parallel. Get the parallel, friends, when we talk about the seed as the Word of God. When that seed is planted in the hearts of men and women, it will produce Christians and Christians only. Acts 11, verse 26, the disciples were first called Christians at Antioch. Men may try to destroy the seed, but they have never been successful, right? The word of the Lord endures forever, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25 states. Men, therefore, will never be able to destroy the seed of the kingdom. And when that seed, and that seed alone, is planted, it will produce Christians. And when Christians take that same seed and plant it in other hearts, it will produce Christians. And when other Christians take that seed and produce it in other people's hearts, it will produce Christians once again. And even if every Christian, every member of the body of Christ on earth were put to death, other Christians would be produced by simply planting the seed. When the Word of God, the seed of the kingdom, was planted in the hearts of men in the days of the apostles, it produced Christians then, members of the Church of the Lord. It will do that now, today as well. The same thing. Why? Because of the seed principle. Every seed bears after its own kind. The unadulterated Word of God, the seed of the kingdom, will not ever produce denominations like a Baptist denomination, or a Methodist denomination, a Presbyterian or Pentecostal, or any other kind. It did not produce such when planted in the hearts of men in the days of the apostles, and will not produce such now. It's the same seed now as it was then, and it will produce the same kind. Furthermore, it matters not who plants the seed. Nothing but Christians will ever be produced. In order to produce something else, some other kind of seed must be mixed with it. You see that? Some other doctrine. That's why the creeds of men are often stacked with the Bible. Because it'll take the Bible plus the Baptist manual to make a Baptist. The Bible plus the Methodist discipline to make the Methodist. The Bible plus the Catholic catechism to make a Catholic. The Bible plus the Book of Mormon to make a Mormon. It always takes something else mixed with the seed to produce something else. But if it's just the Bible only, it matters not who plants it. If there were, therefore, in any century since the first, that no Christians would be found on the earth, Christians could be reproduced by planting the Word of God. If Alexander Campbell planted the seed in the hearts of men, it doesn't make Campbellites any more than the woodpecker planting the acorn seed would make woodpeckers, right? The unadulterated Word of God, the Word of God as the only rule, when planted by either Campbell or Barton W. Stone or by Steve Monce or by T.J. Higdon or T.J. Gomer or Kevin Gutierrez or Liz Smith or Thomas Pedigo or Anthony Ross or Gretchen, would only produce nothing more but Christians. Members of the Church of the Lord. Nothing but the Church or Kingdom of the Lord can be reproduced by preaching the simple gospel of Christ. So then, what is contained in the gospel seed? As we read the New Testament, what do we see by command and example and necessary inference that what was made when it was planted? Well, when planted in an honest heart, we learn who Christ is, what His mission was in life, and that was to seek and to save the lost, and how He accomplished it on the cross. He shed His blood for the remission of our sins, and that's something we learn when we read of this seed. The Bible also tells us that He came to set up a kingdom which would never, ever be destroyed. You can see in the Old Testament, it was prophesied, Isaiah chapter 2, Daniel chapter 2, that this kingdom would be set up in the days of the Roman Empire, and that kingdom would stand forever. Jesus, as He came to earth, began preaching about this kingdom. Look with me in Mark chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, there verse 14 and verse 15. Now after John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Jesus began speaking of that kingdom of God being at hand. It was near in His lifetime. Further on in Mark chapter 9, he then pinpoints a time period when it would be established. Mark 9 verse 1, he said to them, "Assuredly I say to you that there are some standing here who will not taste death till they see the kingdom of God present with power." And so he said within their lifetime, there'd some that see the kingdom of God present. And indeed that took place in Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2, we see the kingdom be established on the day of Pentecost. It was within the lifetime of them, some of them standing there, and certainly within the lifetime of the apostles. In Acts 2 verse 1, it says, "When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place." Verse 2, "And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one set on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance." And they began to speak the gospel message. And by the end of this message, people were cut to the heart. What can we do to be saved? Verse 38, Peter said to them, "Repent. And let everyone be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." What? That's John 3:5. Repent, be renewed in the Spirit, right? And be baptized, born of water and the Spirit. And you shall receive the remission of sins. Remember how we started in Ephesians 2:1? "And you who once were dead in trespasses and sins were made alive," right? This is how spiritual life came. This is the seed that's being planted. People that were dead in their sins could have their sins remitted and could be saved. Verse 40, "With many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, 'Be saved from this perverse generation.' Then those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, about 3,000 souls were added to them." Added to what? There was nothing there before, right? Added to what? The kingdom of Christ and God, which was the church. There you see verse 47, "Praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved." So, we enter the church, the kingdom, by obeying the gospel, don't we? Repenting of our sins, confessing faith in Christ, and being baptized for the remission of our sins. But then we also see that the local church, in this seed, the gospel seed, has a pattern to follow, like the temple of the Old Testament had a pattern to follow as well. If one was to plant the Old Testament seed, they would build and reproduce that Old Testament temple. But as we plant now the New Testament seed, the gospel of Christ, it reproduces the church of Christ, the New Testament. And the kingdom seed is revealed in Acts through Revelation. So what church did Christ set up? Was it a denomination? No. That was not in the seed that we read about in Acts of Revelation. Was it a business? No. Was it an entertainment venue? No. Was it a house of worship? Yes. Well, what kind of worship? Well, staying here in Acts 2, notice verse 42. This church that was set up continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. So it was the teaching from the Word of God, the New Testament in particular. The New Testament doctrine, the apostles' doctrine, and in fellowship, the sharing with one another, so that no one was without. The making sure that the work would continue. And the breaking of bread. This is the Lord's Supper being talked about here. The Lord said, "I would not take the supper again until I was new in the kingdom with you." And here the kingdom has been established. And in prayers. There was also prayers. In Colossians chapter 3, there in verse 16, We also notice that it was manifested in singing as well. What about the work of this church? Well, when we study the book of Acts, we see the church and its work was comprised of evangelism, edification, and benevolence. You don't have to go very far in the book of Acts. You see, it was very evangelistic minded, seeking to spread the gospel to all the lost. They were zealous in that effort. And if we are to reproduce that seed, we must be as well. Supporting perhaps an evangelist locally, but even one that might go afar. What about edification, which is the building up of its own members? Oh, that was very important as well. In fact, in Matthew chapter 28, Jesus said it was indeed a part of the Great Commission. You just don't baptize people and then just say, go on your merry way. There was a great process that one must go through to form a disciple. A disciple just simply means a learner. One that has an appetite for hearing and learning the Word of God, that they might be made like it. You see, produced after its own kind. In Matthew 28:19, Jesus said, go therefore make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Then after they're converted, after they're baptized, right? Verse 20, teaching them. Who is that? Those that were converted, those that were baptized, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Christ and the church that He established would be very concerned about the building up of its members, the edification of its members. And we ought to, if we want to be of that seed, take a very important notice at that. And each one of us is accountable to take some kind of lead in trying to build up the body of Christ, to have a relationship with one another, and to instruct one another to be disciples of the Lord. Baptism is not enough. And that's not all of the New Testament seed, is it? But also we see the kingdom was concerned with benevolence to needy saints. You see that there in Acts chapter 11, where they see that there was a great famine that took place, and the disciples of the Lord determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. That's Acts 11 and verse 29. This they did also and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. It's interesting, we find ourselves in time of a pandemic that has devastated economies across this world. And we, of all people, have been very blessed to still maintain and to be able to eat. But not all places have been so fortunate. And if we find or hear of our brothers and sisters suffering in such a way, our benevolent attitude and heart should step up and seek to help. That was part of the seed of the kingdom. But did the seed of the kingdom build orphanages and send money to colleges? No. That's just not in the seed at all. See, the closer we are to this book, the closer we are to the assurance that the gospel seed is producing after its own kind. The church had a very specific focus, and the church needed to take a lead in that. Every local work was to do that. What about the church? Did it ever sponsor recreation? Was that part of the gospel seed? Did the seed of the kingdom have fellowship halls and Easter hunts and Christmas parties, which focused on entertainment? No. Did it have movie night or trunk or treats? No. And even in the Old Testament, see that God was very strict about the focus of the temple then, right? It was for a spiritual purpose in serving God. And He teaches us a principle that the church, the assembly of the people for God's purpose, is also to be spiritually focused as well, and to be taken seriously as well. Was the kingdom seed organized with women preachers and women elders? No. Men were given the place of leadership. You see that there in 1 Timothy chapter 2, 1 Timothy chapter 3, 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Was it organized with popes and cardinals? No. What about earthly headquarters? No. Was it organized by names and creeds of men? No. No denominational names. That's why you can't plant just the Bible seed and get a Baptist, because it's not in the seed at all. You can't plant the Bible seed and get a Methodist, because there is no Methodist seed in it at all. That's like planting a bean and getting an elephant. Right? That's what that's ultimately doing. Something happened. Someone tampered with the seed to get something like that. So, as we look at the seed, what Jesus said is the Word of God. And then we pattern ourselves after it. Having produced after its own kind, you get the right individual, the Christian, and the right church, the Lord's church, every time. And by the way, children, the Church of Christ is not a building, right? It's not a title. It's a description. It describes the people that have been fashioned after this seed, and this seed alone. As we collectively come together as individual Christians, we then become the Lord's church when we assemble for that purpose, to give Him honor and glory assembled together. Ecclesia, that's all that the word church means, the called out. The called out. That's really how simple this is. The seed principle. God teaches it at the very beginning. Jesus teaches it in the Gospels. And it's why Paul says in the epistles, hold fast the pattern of sound words which you've heard from me. Because that pattern contains the Word of God, the seed. And the seed, what? Always produces after its own kind. It made Christians then. It'll make Christians now. Pretty simple, right? Kids, you get that? Does that make sense? Shake your head like this, right? That's right. Let us not be afraid of that principle, but to use that principle in our lives, to allow God's Word to fashion us according to His image. I remember years ago when Sister Renaud placed her membership, and she met with the men and talked with us, and she, in a very emotional way, I remember, I'll never forget, she said, I finally feel I have found the church you can read about in the Bible. No better compliment could be paid. That's all that we ever desire to be here. But I want to tell you, friends, it could all be taken away. All it takes is one wolf in sheep's clothing to come in and sow a different seed. All it takes is us to let our guard down and not teach our children on a continual basis when we lie down and when we rise up and when we walk in the way. And Satan will be looking for that end. Might also say it may not even be doctrine. It could be attitude. It could be human tradition. Let us be careful always to stick to the seed of the Word of God. And may He help us with a good and noble heart to keep it and to bear fruit with patience. Maybe there's someone here this morning that has heard the simple gospel and wants to become simply a Christian. Would you obey that gospel and be added to the kingdom of Christ and God? You're very fortunate to be part and to hear a very simple message like this, where most of the world does not hear it. Don't take that for granted. Act upon it. Obey it. Be saved by that gospel seed. And with a good, noble heart, keep that word and bear fruit with patience. If we can assist, won't you come while together we stand and sing the invitation song? Ooh.